The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In our generation, there has been a great amount of discussion and exploration and a great amount of confusion as to what is or what should be the role of the woman, what are her particular abilities, her talents, her responsibilities. And this has caused a great deal of insecurity and erosion of confidence by many people. And there are those, many people, who can consider themselves wise, and they have been discussing this and writing on this, making statements and books. And therefore this is a subject which is very befitting to give some thought into our Torah HaKdosha, to see what does the Torah consider the proper perspective of a woman, of her role, of her abilities, responsibilities, and so forth. And unfortunately, not all the time do we find Torah values, even amongst our own Jewish people, and even necessarily amongst our own Jewish frum people, dati people. Unfortunately, we absorb a great deal of the atmosphere around us. And not everything which is necessarily professed to be Torah or Frumkeit is necessarily so. So this evening let's spend some time to go into the sources on this subject and Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully, if we can gain some clarity into it. Now, firstly, we find from the Torah that a woman was given two specific tasks. Let's deal with the first one. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis Beis Posuk Yud Ches Vayema Hashem Elokim. After the creation of man, the Almighty said, Lo tov heyoso odem levadoi. It is not good for a man to be alone. Ase lei ezer kenegdo. So I will make for him an ezer kenegdoi, a helpmate for him. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min ha'adomo. No, excuse me, this pasuk is not necessary for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it is not good for a man to be alone. Let me make for him an ezer kenegdoi, a helpmate. Now further on pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadeim Al Odom Vayishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a slumber over a man, and he slept, Vayikach Achas Mitzal Esav, and he took one of his ribs or one of his sides, Vayizgor Boser Tachteno, and he closed the flesh from beneath, Vayiven Hashem Elokim Es Hatzelo, and he built up the rib, Asher Lokach Min Odom Leisho, which he took from the man for a woman, Vayivieha Elo Odom, and he brought her to man. And man said, this time she is bones from my own bones and flesh from my own flesh. And I shall call her Isha. Because this means that she was taken from man. And the Torah tells us, and therefore a man must leave his father and mother. He shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be as one flesh. So we see that the task, the purpose, that the Torah created woman was le'ezer kenegdo, to be a helpmate for man. This means, in the simple sense, that it's impossible for man to perform his duty and his responsibility in the world alone, and therefore he had to have a partner, and therefore man created woman in order that therefore the Almighty created woman in order that together they can fulfill the task which they were given in this world. Now it's important for us to note that woman was not created yesh me'ayin, out of nothing. She was created from something. She was created from man. And as the Pasuk says, that she was called Isha, ki me'ish lukocha, she was called woman, which means she was taken from man. This means that man had actually encompassed woman, or at least a part of woman, before she was created. When the Almighty created man, he had encompassed part, or perhaps all, of woman before. Except the Almighty created the woman from man. And this, the Gemara tells us in Erevin Daf Yud Ches, the discussion in the Gemara, Du Patsufin. According to one opinion in the Gemara, man and woman were created together as one entity. And as all the Almighty did was separate them into two separate entities, into two separate creations. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that man was not created as a dual personality, but the Almighty took a part of him, and from there, vayiven es hatzelo, he built woman. But as we see, according to both opinions, man, before the creation of woman, encompassed at least all of this woman, or at least part of this woman. And this is what is brought later on, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, in Perek He of Parshas Bereishis, Posuk Aleph and Beis, Ze Sefer Toldos Odom. This is the book of the generations of man, B'yein Bora Elokim Odom, when the Almighty created man, B'dus Demus Elokim Osa Esoi. He created man in his image. Zohar unakeva bira'om. He created them, male and female. Which gives the implication that at the same time, they were created male and female. B'nus elekim osa esay. Vayevorech osam. And he blessed them. Vayikra eshmom odom b'yayim hiborom. And he called their name Adam, which commonly means man, when on the day he created them. This is referring, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, as Yetzir Rishena, that when the Almighty first created man, he encompassed all of these qualities. And this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel, at the beginning of Omer Aleph, Le Nikro, that a person who is alone, a man who is alone, is like Nikro Odom. He is not called Odom. Only when he is together with a wife, then he is called Odom. Because we see Zohar Unakeva Boro Osam. Actually, we mentioned in the past, Vilna Gaon asked the question in Sefer Mishlei. If the Almighty wanted to separate them into two entities, so why did he create them together? Originally then, he should have made two separate entities. Why did he first create them together and then divide them? So this he answers. One entity would not have sufficed, because one was supposed to help the other. Person many times is in a situation where he cannot help himself. He needs an external force to help him. So therefore, one entity would not have sufficed. So he had to make two. If that was the case, so why didn't he make two in the beginning? Because if he would have made two in the beginning, then it would have been impossible for them to cleave together and become one. It states, V'hoyu lebosar echod, that they must become one. The Gemara tells us, V'yo'afti kigufei. Ishtei kigufei. A person's wife is always considered like he himself. A person is obligated to love his wife like he himself. They must become one. Two cannot become one. Therefore, the Almighty made them one to begin with. Then he divided them in order that one can be an external aid to the other. And he didn't make them like that in the beginning, in order that they could become one again, that their source was one. So, when we say that woman was created from man to be an azer, to be an aid, we must be cognizant that she was taken right from man, and the original creation encompassed these qualities, or at least some of these qualities. Now, what does it mean that she should be an azer? She should be a help. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, and Daf Samech Gimel Omer Aleph, Ashkechei Rabbi Yosi le'Eliyahu. Rabbi Yosi met Eliyahu. Eliyahu Anovi. Omale, he says, Ksiv Asalei Ezer, it is written that I shall make a helpmate for man. Bamei Isha Ezrose lo'odem. How does woman help man? Omale, so he said, Odem mevi chitin, chitin casing. Pishtun, pishtun levesh. He said, a man brings from the field wheat. But does he chew wheat? He brings pishtun, he brings flax. But does he wear flax? The woman takes the wheat and she makes it into something that's edible. The woman takes the flax and she makes it into clothing. Leinimtzis me'ira einov umamidosi al raglov. So do we not find that she brings light to his eyes and she stands him on his feet? What the Gemara is telling us is what is an expression of a chazal in other places. Hu mevin v'hi mechina. The man brings, and she prepares it. The man brings the wheat, and she makes it into something edible. The man grows and brings the flax, and she makes it into something wearable. This is how she's his helpmate. Now this is not only in the level of the physical sphere, but We see from many sources that she is also a helpmate on a higher sphere, higher than physical, in a spiritual sphere. And we'll quote some of these sources. There's a statement from the sages, which I saw a long time ago, but I don't recall exact. I haven't been able to locate exactly where it is, so I cannot quote just where it is. But the Chazal tell us, Ezer Kenegdai, that she is a helpmate. At the same time, it states Kenegdai. Kenegdai, the Gemara Darshans, and the Medrash, Kenegdai can mean also that she will be, from the word strike, she will strike out against you. So it seems contradictory. Ezer, she's a helpmate, but at the same time, she can be your opponent. So the Gemara says, if you come to do good, Ezer Tov, then she's an Ezer. Then she will be your helpmate. If you come to do evil, then she will be against you. So here we see that not only in the physical sphere, but also in the spiritual sphere, was she created to be a helpmate. It's one source. Another source, the posuk, the sentence in the Torah reads, "Lo tov heyosa odem levado." It is not good for the person to be alone. This would imply that when woman was given to man, she comes with the quality of good, because it states, "Lo tov heyosa odem levado." It is not good for man to be alone. Eselezer kenegde, I shall make for him a woman. So this would imply that woman will bring tov, goodness, to him. And this is what the Gemara Darshans. Gemara Darshans in Yevamos, in the sugya, and that sugya that we refer to in Yevamos, and some of Beis Amud Beis. Kol ashari b'lei isho, shari b'lei teva. Someone who lives without a woman, lives without goodness. As it states, Leitov yosalodim levadai, it is not good for a woman to be alone, for a man to be alone. And also we have a pasuk in Mishle Yud Ches, which states, Motzo Isha, Motzo Tov. That when you find a woman, you have found goodness. Now, the word Tov is a word which is used only in special places in the Torah. For example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, after each day he said, "Vayara Hashem ki tov," he saw it was good. After the entire creation, he said, "Nei tov mi od," it was very good. And this is the stamp that the Almighty gave on the creation of the world. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Menaches that when Moshe received the Torah to give it to Klal Yisrael, so Tov was given to Tovim through Tov. Klal Yisrael is referred to as Tov. Torah is called Tov. Ki lekach Tov nasati lechem. And Moshe was referred to as Tov. When Moshe was born, Vatera say ki tofu, they looked at him and they saw he was good. So we see the word Tov refers to Torah, it refers to Yisrael, it refers to Moshe. Eretz Yisrael was called Tov, the Gemara brings. Tova oretz mi'od, mi'od. The land is very, very good. It's written in by the Parshas of the Maraglim and Parshas Shalach. From this we learn, the Maral writes in many places, that Tov, the word Tov, is not a word which is used lightly in the Torah. It is a word which describes only the most perfect and elevated creations. Eretz Yisrael, Torah, Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the creation of the world. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leitov heyos ha'odim levado, that if man is alone, he lacks goodness. Eser le'eser genegdai, I will make for him a mate. And the Gemara says this means that this mate brings goodness to him. Kol ha'shori b'le'isho, shori b'le'teva. And therefore someone who lives alone lacks this goodness. And Shlomo HaMelech said, Motzi isho motzo tov, that when you find a good wife, a proper wife, you have found goodness. So then this is referring to a creation and to a role which is of the highest nature. And this, therefore, also teaches us that her role is not merely to help in the physical sphere, but to help also in the highest of spiritual spheres. Another such source, the Gemara in Yevamos makes many statements as what a person lacks if he does not have this Ezer. And the Medrash is a similar Medrash to the Gemara in Bereishis Parshas Yud Zayin Beis, and I'll quote it from the Medrash. Toni Rabbi Yaakov kol shein le'isho. Rabbi Yaakov learned, whoever does not have a wife, shori b'lei tova, he lives without goodness, b'lei ezer. He lives without a helpmate, b'lei simcha, without rejoicing, b'lei brocha, without blessing, b'lei kapora, without forgiveness. Now, how do we know? B'lei tova, without goodness, or quotes the source we've just quoted. Le teva yis adam levado, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's not good for a person to be alone, so he gave him a wife. B'lei ezer, without a helpmate, because the Torah said, Esele ezer kenegdei, I will create a helpmate for him. B'lei simcha, without rejoicing, as it states, V'somachto ato uveisecho. As it states that I will rejoice, you shall rejoice, you and your household. From here we learn that simcha comes together with one's household, which refers to a wife. B'lei kapora, without forgiveness, as it states, V'chiper ba'adoi uvi'ad beisoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring forgiveness to you and your household. So this refers to a wife. B'lei brocha, without brocha, as it states, Lo'aniach brocha el beisecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring blessing to your house. Af b'lei sholem, and also without shalom, as it states, "Vato shalom uveischo shalom," that you shall have peace with your household. And Rabbi Shua said, "Af b'lei chayim," without life, as it states, "Rei chayim ima isha asher ohavta," that you shall have life together with the wife that you love. The Gemara in Yevamos adds, B'marova amri, b'lei Torah, without Torah, u'b'lei chema, and without a wall. It brings sources for it. A wall means a wall to protect him. Now here we're speaking of attributes that a wife brings into the man's home. Now what are these attributes? These are not physical attributes. For example, tova, goodness, simcha, rejoicing, brocha, blessing, kapora, forgiveness, shalom, peace, chayim, life, choma, a wall to protect him. The Gemara later on brings that a woman saves a man from averus, and Torah, without Torah. So it's evident, therefore, that when the Torah said, Ezer kenegdo, that she shall be a mate to help you. It's not only referring in the physical sphere, but is referring also in the greater spiritual levels. But incidentally, till now we have not been referring to the attribute of a wife that through her you will be able to have children. We'll speak about that in just a minute. But we're not referring to that now. Many people make that mistake. They think that the total attribute of a wife is through her you will have children. The Gemara says not like that. Because the Gemara says in the Sugya Yevamos, Mi sheyesh lei ben bas, what happens if someone has fulfilled the mitzvah of Peruavu? He already has a son and a daughter. And let's say, heaven forbid, his wife died. And now he's thinking of not remarrying. So the Gemara says, also liyos b'le'odom, b'le'isha. He's not allowed to be without a wife. Shenemar, as it states, lo tov heyosa odom levadai. It's not good for a man to be alone. Kola shori b'le'isha, shori b'le'tova. If he lives alone, he is living without goodness. Therefore, he's obligated to remarry. Even if it's a woman that cannot have children. So till now we have been referring to a wife in the role that she is the ezer to the Baal. We find in the Torah a second specific role given to women, and that is in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Chof. Vayikra Odom Shem Ishtei Chava. A man called the name of his wife Chava. Ki hi hoi so ein kol hoi. Because she was the mother of all life. Chava comes from the word to give life. A man gave her the name Chava because she was the mother of all life. Rashi brings on this pasuk Nefel aloshin chayo. Chava is similar to the word chayo, shemechayo es vladoseho, that she gives life to her children. This is a second role that we find in the Torah for her. Now, we have a principle, Hashem Meira Alatzura. Names, especially names which are found in the Torah, identify the very essence of the being. She was given a name, Chava, life. And more than life. Chava doesn't mean life. Chava means giver of life. This doesn't mean that she's something else, but she also gives life. States that Odom HaRishon, the first man who was given enormous wisdom, gave names to all of the creatures of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought all of the creatures before him, he looked at them, and he gave them the name. He looked into their very essence, and he gave them a name which perfectly defines and describes who they are and what they are. So he certainly did so with his own wife. And he gave her a name, Chava, which not only means Chayo, that she's life, but Mechayo, but she gives life. This means the essence of woman is that of the giver of life. And therefore she's Eim Kol Chayo, the mother of all life. We don't have to elaborate much. when it comes to Torah sources as to what the importance of life is on this world. Fortunately, with all the distortions and crookedness that we hear in our generation, it is something that perhaps has to be reiterated. But in Torah sources, there is nothing more valuable in this world or the next world than life itself. It is the greatest gift that mankind was ever given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Torah and mitzvahs relate to life. They only relate to life. Mother tells us, Hameis chofshi min ha-mitzvahs. A dead person, he has nothing to do with mitzvahs anymore. It's a Torah's chayim. It's a Torah that was given for the living. There's a Yerushalmi. Tosfos brings in Masechta Brachos that the reason why an onen, when someone is busy, he has, heaven forbid, a loss in his family and he's busy burying them, the reason why he's poter min ha-mitzvahs, he's free from the mitzvahs, because bizman she'atem oskim v'chayim, Torah was given for the living, and when you're dealing with life, it was not given to the dead. The whole tefillah, all of the tefillahs of Dovid HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, was constantly Mabetze B'Dome B'Yeridite Al Shochas, Hayeitcho Ofer Hayagid Amitecho. What will you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gain by taking my life? Can the dust praise you? Can the dust sing out to you? Can the silence sing? L'man Yizamecha Koveid V'Lei Yidom. The whole purpose of the world was to sing out and praise the Almighty. Only the living can do that, not the dead. This is what David HaMelech constantly said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo hameisim yahalelu ko. The dead cannot praise the Almighty. It's the Yishalmi that brings that the reason, gives the reason why you can't, different than the Bavli, the reason why you cannot use an esrog or a lulav that's totally dried up is because lehameisim yahalelu ko. Praise to the Almighty is from the living, not from the dead. And therefore the Gemara calls pru urvu the mitzvah of bringing children into the world, not a mitzvah, but a mitzvah rabba. A great mitzvah. Very few places that the Torah refer to as mitzvah rabba, a great mitzvah. And the Gemara says, this is also in the Sugi and Yevamos on Samach Beis. Gemara says, if someone wants to get married and he's poor and he has no money, can't afford to get married, but he owns a Sefer Torah, what can be a more precious asset than a Sefer Torah? Meichrin Sefer Torah liso isha. He's allowed to sell the Sefer Torah to get money and to enable him to marry in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Peruvu. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, kol mi shemavatl mi mitzvahs Peruvu, Kobamayres Admus. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that Zohar and Akeva Boromaisom, he created male and female in his image. And therefore, whoever does not endeavor to have children, he is eliminating the image of the Almighty. He is minimizing the image, limiting the image of the Almighty in this world. And the Gemara says, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that his Shechina, my Shechina will dwell on you, he told the Oves, ulzarecho achrecho, and on your seed. Le'al etzim v'avonim. He He says, I don't bring my Shekhinah, my presence into this world to dwell on sticks and stones. I bring them to dwell on the children which will be born from mankind and from Israel. So therefore, this mitzvah is not to be looked at lightly. Even though today you have tremendous preoccupation with birth control and family planning and contraceptives and abortions, which is murder, and so forth. This is not at all Torah direction. And therefore, when Adam referred to Chava as Eim Kol Chai, her name is life, giver of life, because this is her power. She's referring here to something very, very great. That she is a Metzias HaChaim and Eisein HaChaim, where she gives life. It's for this reason, perhaps, that we find the word Binyan. It says, Vayiven Asatzela, the Almighty built the rib, or the side, and the word Binyan, Vayiven, which is a strange word to be used there, because this refers to Binyan Ha'olam. Through her the world is built. A son is called a Ben. The Maral says, why? Because Binyan, because you build the world through him. And the Gemara brings that Talmidei Chachomim are called builders. Al tikrei bonaich el bonaich. Do not call them your sons. I do not refer them as your sons, but as your builders. Sheim eiskim bebinyonei shel olam. Because they are occupied with the building of the world. So this is a second role that we see that was given to women. From these two roles, we can learn the following points. Firstly, a woman is very close to the Midas HaChesed. What we mean by this, by nature, and this is the nature which was made, which was given to women. She has a nature of giving, of selflessness, of devotion. Because her nature was to be an azer, to be an aid to her husband, and to give life to others. This is Midas HaChesed. Chesed is the greatest attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Midas HaNesima. The power to give, which our sages tell us that no other creations were given this power to give. Power of free giving outside of man. And we see this is very close, therefore very intertwined to the nature of woman. And therefore we find many times phrases such as Noshim Rachmonias, women of compassion, Rachmei Ha'em Ala Ben Yeser, Rachmei Ha'em Ala Ben Yeser Min Ha'av, that a woman has greater compassion to the children than the father. Or for example, Teres Chesed Al Piho Al Lishena, Teres Chesed Al Lishena, that the words of loving kindness Torah is on her lips. And actually, if you will study the last chapter of Mishlei, which was written by Shlema Melech, Eishes Chayil Miimso, you will find that the majority of the chapter speaks about a woman who is constantly giving. Who's constantly giving, doing for others, doing for her home, doing for her husband, doing for her children. because this is the nature that the Almighty gave her. And this is an enormous level, because Chesed is considered the greatest level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chaim, to be close to the essence of life, is also considered the greatest level of this world. That's one point we can learn. Second point we can learn is a woman by nature is more subject to her home. She is more associated with her home. Because firstly, when the Gemara described her role as an Ezer, as a helpmate, it states, "Hu mevi v'hi mechino." He goes out to produce it, and he brings it to the woman, and she prepares it. He goes out to grow the wheat, and he brings it to her in the house, and she makes from it bread. He goes out to grow the flax, and he brings it to her in the house where she makes the flax. She makes it into clothing. And that's a meleches pnimi. Not a meleches chutz, but a meleches pnimi. This is not an outside work, an inside work, an interior, internal work. The same with the children. She gives life to the children and she cares for the children. And when do they need most of her care? When they're young. This is in the home. Therefore, the Gemara tells us many times, "Darklo sheis lotzeis, vein darklo shel isha lotzeis." It's the nature of a man to want to go out. He likes to go out in the market. He likes to go out. The Gemara brings on the nations of the world; they like to go out to war. "Darklo shel isha shelay lotzeis," but it's not the way of a woman to go out. She's pnimi. And this we find in Tehillim, where Dovra Melech writes, "Kol kevuda bas melech pnimo." A wife is a king. Man was the king and she's the queen. And it's the honor of a queen to be concealed. Kol kevuda bas melech pnima. A queen or a princess, it's to her honor not to be seen too much, not to be out. If you come to royalty, you have to be nichnes lifnayu lifnim. You have to go into many, many chambers before you get to see the king. And even more chambers in order to gain entry to the queen. And this is what we find in Parshas Vayera, which we read recently, that when the Malochim, the angels, came to the house of Avraham, they said, "Ayei Sori Ishtecho," "Where is Sori, your wife?" And he said, "Ba'ohel," "She's in the tent, she's in the home." So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, but the angels knew where Sora was, so why did they say? L'chavaval bailo. They wanted to endear her to her husband, Abraham, because this is a shvach, this is a kovet, this is an honor for a woman to be ba'ohel, to be inside. And this is what the Gemara refers to, and the Chazal refer to, as sonua. Sonua means to be private, to be concealed. Midas hatznius. And actually, we see this is the basic nature of a woman. Medrash tells us in Parshas, in Perek Yudches Gimel, Rabbi Shua Desakni, Meshemer of Levi, Omar Vayiven Ksiv, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the rib, is Beinim Me'ayin Libroso, Libreso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let us try to determine where would be the best place to build the woman from the man. And the conclusion is, the conclusion of the discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angels is that we must build women from a mokem amechusa, from a place in man which is totally concealed. And on every part of woman which was being formed, so he said to her, Tehei isha tsnua, isha tsnua. Woman, he said, be tsnua. Conduct yourself in a very concealed manner, in a very inward manner. So we see that this is the very nature that was given to woman. Now, when we refer to tsanua, we should realize that this is a great honor. Why? Because in this world we find that what is private and what is concealed, in Yiddish it would be called behalten, is of greater value than what is revealed. This is the nature of the world. For example, when it comes to stones, they're found all over. When it comes to silver, you have to start digging for it. When it comes to gold, you have to dig thousands of feet for it. When it comes to pearls, you have to dive deep down into the sea for it. When it comes to diamonds, you have to go into the core of the earth for it. Nature of the world is what is not precious is bachutz. What is not precious is exterior. Semi-precious becomes a little more inward. Very precious becomes concealed. Until the Gemara tells us in Baruches, the neshama, the soul of man, is totally concealed. The greatest gift given to man is his soul. Neshama shenasati b'taherihi, the pure soul which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. Yeshevas b'seser, she dwells b'seser. She dwells totally in secret. No one can find the soul. Mother says she's a bas melech, she's a princess. Princess called kfuda bas melech prima. Princess is concealed. And therefore the soul is concealed. And the Gemara asks, and why is the soul concealed? Because the soul is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yeshev b'seser elyon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is totally concealed. So when we speak of tznius, we must understand what it means. Now, tznius must not be limited. Unfortunately, many people have these misgivings. Must not be limited to physical dress. Tznius also refers to physical dress, but this is just one small area of tznius. Tznius means the entire quality, the entire character of the person is that of a private, concealed nature. For example, the Gemara tells us, what is the great shvach of the tznius of Klal Yisrael? Because in the desert when they camped, so one window was not opposite the other. So people were not interested in someone else's business. There cannot be a greater pritzus. There cannot be a greater contrary to this type of modesty, when you have people who are constantly in everyone else's business, infringe on other people's privacy, or impose themselves in other people's lives, be it physically, mentally, or spiritually. So we must understand what we are referring to here. Therefore, her nature was to be in the home. And his nature was to go out of the home. It is for this reason that many places the Gemara refers to a woman as a home. More in Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi said, La'ilam le'karisias ishti ishti al ishti beisi. I never refer to my wife as a wife, I refer to her as my home. Rachel, the wife of Yaakov Avinu, was called the Akeres Habayis. She was called the cornerstone foundation of the house of Israel, Beis Israel. The women were referred to as Beis Kol Soma Leveis Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai. He says, this is what you shall tell Beis Yaakov, V'sagid Livnei Yisrael. The women were referred to as Beis Yaakov, the house of Jacob. And not only does it mean that her place is in the home, or she is the home, but it means more than that. It means she is the ma'achid. She unites the home. Mother tells us, the Torah tells us, that Yaakov buried Rachel ala derech, next to the road. Kever Rachel is between cities. It's on the road. The Mother asks, why? Why was she buried on the road? Mora answers, because when Israel will go into Golos, they will be exiled. And they will be traveling down that road. Out of Eretz Israel, Rachel will get up from her grave, and she'll cry and weep to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to bring the children back. Shavu bonim ligvulam. Therefore, she was buried on the road. The Maral explains in the beginning of Sefer Netzach Yisrael, why Rachel? Because it is the woman who unites the house. Since she is synonymous with the home, then she is the uniting factor. When Klal Yisrael will go into Golus, this is dispersion. This is the contrary to a uniting factor. And if we need a uniting factor to bring them back, so then it must be Rachel, who is the cornerstone and the foundation of the home. Therefore it was Rachel who was buried next to the road. She will be the one who will be able to bring them back. These are the two roles that we find in the Torah for a woman. In the world, they're known as the traditional roles. And these are with some of the observations that we've made on them. Now let's go to another point. What is a woman when it comes to such qualities as chokhmah, wisdom, chokhmah v'seichel, wisdom? Or mitzvahs, or Torah, or a nevuah, prophecy, Ruach HaKodesh. many think, and this is in all circles. Unfortunately, this is also in so-called Torah circles. Many think that man who goes out, so he's the wise person. A woman who stays in, that's because she either lacks wisdom, or she lacks wisdom because she doesn't have the experience of the world. Remember, the Chazal tell us just the opposite. The Chazal tell us in the Medrash, in Yud Ches, Perek Yud Ches Beis, Yudches Aleph. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu built up the rib of man to make woman from it. And it uses the word Vayiven to build. And as I mentioned, this is a strange word to be used here. In the Gemara Darshan, this is a Gemara also in Mesech de Nido. And that Memhe Omed Beis, not the entire Medrash. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Vayiven? From the word bino. Niten bo bino yeser mino esh. When it comes to wisdom and understanding, she was given a greater measure than man. And that's what it means, Vayiven es atzelo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu built up the rib, Vayiven bino. He gave her a greater measure of understanding than man. And where do we see this? So the Gemara brings, the Medrash brings, this is a Mishnah Masechta Nido. We find Bashud Alef Shona V'Yemecho Nidoreo Nidokin, Bashud Bei Shona V'Yemecho Nidoreo Kayomin. A young girl, when she's 11 years old, if she makes a vow, so then we have to watch carefully. It might be a valid vow. When she's 12 years old, it is a valid vow. But a young boy, if he makes a vow at 11, then we dismiss it totally. If he makes it at 12, all right, then we have to watch it. Not until 13, though, is it for certain a valid vow. So we see that when it comes to why, because a woman reaches an age of understanding earlier than a man. Where do we get this from? So the Gemara says this is the Bina Yiseira Vayivan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the rib, he gave her an extra measure of Bina. Then the Gemara says, Dakel shel isha liyesh yeshevis b'seich besa. It's the custom of the woman to be in the house. Dakel shel isha liyesh yetzel shuk. It's the custom of the man to go out to the market. V'lei med bina mimnei odom. Now the man becomes very clever, because when he goes out into the market, so he has the marketplace to sharpen his wits. But the woman that stays at home, so what's going to sharpen her wits? Therefore, Vayiven HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her Bina Yisera, Medrash tells us. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give her more understanding than a man. So what is the Medrash telling us? That all of the cleverness that the man will amass through his great experience in the commerce of the market, so woman has that by nature. So we see that she was not given the second place, but rather she has it by nature, what the man is going to have to gain through experience. This is what the Chazal tell us. What about mitzvahs? This is in regards to seichel. What about mitzvahs, fulfillment of mitzvahs? Again, unfortunately, it's popular belief that mitzvahs basically were given to men, not to women. Women are a little slow in fulfilling mitzvahs. Unfortunately, this is contrary to what the Torah tells us. In Shmeis Rabbah Perechof Ches, And the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Torah, he summoned Klal Yisrael, and he said, he told Moshe, Kaseim ala beis Yaakov v'sagi livnei Yisrael. This is what you shall tell the house of Yaakov, and this is what you shall tell the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. So the Medrash says, Kaseim ala beis Yaakov elo hanoshim. The house of Yaakov, the house of Jacob, this refers to the women. Sagi livnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, elu ha'anoshim. This refers to the men. So there's a question. According to this, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, so first he spoke to the women and then he spoke to the men. And the Medrash wants to know why. V'lomel anoshim t'chila. Why? So there are several different reasons and opinions. The Maral in Feresh Yisrael, Perichof Ches, elaborates on them. We're interested, though, in just one or two. First reason given, Sheheim is Arozeis Bamitzvahs. Because women are quicker and are closer to the fulfillment of mitzvahs than men. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to approach a nation. And who do you speak to? Do you speak to the easier ones first or the more difficult ones first? He had a proposal. He wanted them to accept Torah. He wanted them to accept the all ha-mitzvahs, the yoke of fulfillment of mitzvahs. So always, if you have something to sell, you speak to the easier ones first. So he said, Kol soma aleveish Yaakov. First we'll speak to the women, and then to the men. Sheheim is arozeis be-mitzvahs, because they are quicker to accept mitzvahs. So we see, as far as an affinity to fulfillment of mitzvahs, women by nature have a closer affinity than men. Maral explains why. Because the man is more bekeach, is more theoretical. The woman is more bepale. The woman is more in actuality, in practice. We see in general they react quicker. The man will think more about doing something and the woman will do it. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed a reaction, he needed an exception, he needed an acceptance. When it comes to zrizus, to doing, by nature they can be first. So we see that when it comes to kiyum mitzvahs, they have a greater affinity. Let's go another step. What about Talmud Torah? What about when it comes to the level of the study of Torah? Another reason given in this Medrash, Davar Acher Shei Manhigim Es Bneihem LeTalmud Torah. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to speak to women first and then men, because when he was giving the Torah, so it involved the commitment to study the Torah. The commitment and the action of studying, that's by women first, and men secondly. Why? Shemanigim es b'neim l'talmud Torah. Because it is the woman who first acts in regards to the child to study Torah. A man studies Torah. It is the woman that takes him to school. It is the woman that takes him to the cheder. In those days, they were malichas lebeis haknesses. They would take them to the shul. It is the woman who has the influence on him to study Torah when he's very young, because he's growing up constantly in her surroundings. So the first attachment to the study of Torah by a person comes through the influence of the mother, not through the influence of the father. This is what the Gemara tells us. Sheheim manhigim, because Sheheim manhigim es b'neihem l'talmud Torah. And the Maral says that in general we see this because they create the foundation of the person. When they give birth to a child, They're creating the foundation. If the foundation is good, then there can be Torah built on that. If there's not a good foundation, then Torah cannot be built. If their qualities, they imbue their qualities into the embryo, it will have a good foundation and Torah can be built on it. If not, it will be what is known as a pogum. It will have imperfections and Torah cannot be built on it. So therefore, they lay the first cornerstone of Talmud Torah. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give Torah, and he needed a commitment to the all of studying of Torah, he had to speak to the women first. So this is in regards to the studying of Torah. What about Milas HaTorah? What about not the who lays the first cornerstone, but what about the benefits that come from the study of Torah? The benefits of coming from study of Torah. Now here again, in all circles, people think that the study of Torah is a man's world. That's the men's job. And since they study Torah all the time, so they have the benefits of Torah. Women who are in the home and they do not study Torah, so therefore they lack the benefits of the Torah. And therefore they're secondary. This again is contrary to the Das of the Chazal. Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, this is a Gemara in Brachos, and it's a Gemara in Seita. Yud Zayin in Brachos. Gemara brings a pasuk from Yeshayahu. The pasuk in Yeshayahu is Lamed Beis Tes. G'dayla haftocha shehivtichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu lenoshim yeser min ha'anoshim. The promise of the benefits of Torah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Klal Yisrael, are greater, not the same, not secondary, not the same, but are greater to the women than to the men. G'dola haftocha shivticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu lenoshim yeser min anoshim. The schar Torah, the reward and benefits of Torah, are greater to the women than to the men. Shinemar, as it states, and the pasuk states, noshim shananois komno shomanu peli. The women who have a peaceful nature, they stand up and they listen to my voice. But those bothches, the women who trust in the Almighty, hazenu imrosi, they heed to my words. So the Gemara merely asks on that, the mazakyan, they have greater benefits and reward from Torah than men, but that has to come through doing something. What do they do for this? They don't sit and learn Torah. Bakrui b'nai levekinishto, by bringing their little children to the shul to read Chumash, u'basnui gavrai be'rabon, and by helping their husbands study Torah by the rabbonim, v'natrin legavrai adosim be'rabonim, and when their husbands go away to study Torah, they patiently wait for him to return. Now this Gemara is an extraordinary Gemara. And these are not just mere words. The Gemara is saying the gedola haftocha, that what the women do for Torah, so their returns are greater than the men have from what they do with Torah. The reason for this is because of the nature that was given to women. Man was given a hard, strong, tough nature. And his nature is contrary to Torah. And therefore he takes amelus. He has to labor in Torah. by day and by night to receive the benefits of Torah. But women were given Noshim Shananes, they were given a nature, we're speaking here of righteous women, see? A woman who perfects herself, who perfects herself in righteousness. She perfects a nature that is far superior to man's nature. And therefore, with just a little effort in Torah, the effort of bringing her children to learn Torah, bringing her husbands to learn Torah, she receives those benefits and even more, gedola. This is how the Maral explains it. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Klal Yisrael to give them Torah, he said, Emor leveish Yaakov, v'saged livnei Yisrael. When you speak to the women, he said, Emor. Amira, the Chazal say, Racha, speak to them softly. You don't have to tell them much Torah. You tell them a little Torah, and that's sufficient. When it comes to the men, it states, v'saged, dikdukim, v'kosher kigidim. You must tell them all of the intricacies of Torah, because they have to study and learn. And you must speak to them with a hard language in order to break through the nature of man. So this is in regards to Mailas HaTorah, into the benefits of the Torah. What about, in this sphere, what about in regards to prophecy? Or Ruach HaKodesh prophecy, or to have an understanding, to be able to see things which normal people cannot see. Now this we also find. We just found it recently in two places in Parshas Lech Lecho, and Tes Zayin Beis, and in Parshas Vayero, Chof Alev Yud Beis. Sarah told Avraham to take Hagar as a wife. And Avraham didn't want to listen to her. But it states that he listened to her voice. The Medrash tells why, because he saw in her voice Ruach HaKodesh prophecy. A little while later, after Yishmael was born, so Sarah told Abraham, send the maidservant away with Yishmael, ki lo yirash im b'ni Yitzchok. He will not inherit with my son, with Yitzchok. Vayera hadover, b'nei Avram. Avram was very upset over this. He held it was evil to send him away. And he didn't want to listen to her. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, kol ma sh'teima lo sh'ma b'keilo, whatever she says, listen to her voice. And the Chazal bring mikan, sh'Avraham tofel l'sora b'nevius. That Sarah was greater than Avraham in prophecy. Now this is also something that should be appreciated. Because Avraham had such prophecy that the Gemara says on him that he knew kol ha-Torah kula, the entire Torah, before it was given. Even the laws that the Rabbonim were going to enact later, before it was given and without anyone teaching him. Through prophecy. And Sarah was greater. That's one example. Another example, the daughters of Tzlofchot. In Parshas Pinchas, Kof Zayin Zayin. This is in Bamidbar. The daughters of Tzlofchot had no brothers. They were only daughters. And when it came to dividing the land in Eretz Yisrael, so it was decided that land should not be given to them because there were no sons in the family. And they came to Avraham, they came to Mesha. They came to Mesha and they said, our father has died. Why should we lose out? Just because there's no son. If there's no sons, then the daughter should get. And the Chazal tell us there was a discussion, and they debated. They debated with Meisha, they came to Meisha and the whole Sanhedrin, the 70s of Canaan. And they debated, and they put forth the reasons, Torah reasons, as to why they should inherit if there are no sons. And Meisha couldn't answer them. He didn't know. So he brought the judgment before Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kein b'nei slofchot devrish. Nason titen lehem achuzes nachle b'seich achi avihem v'avates nachles avihem lohem. The daughters of Slofchot, they are speaking the truth. Listen to them and give them their inheritance. And this will be the law, that if there is a son, he inherits. If there is no son, it will go to the daughter. The Chazal tell us, they said, Yius, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, what they say is good. Kaksuva pashizu lefonai bamorim. What they are presenting is a parsha in Torah which is written before me in the heavens. Magid sherosa einon mashalei rosa einei shel Meisha. Their eyes saw more than Meisha saw. Yofe tovei ashrei odem shehakadosh baruch hu made litvorov. How fortunate is a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with his presentation. Now this that it says that they saw more than Meisha. The Gemara tells us that Meisha was the greatest prophet of all times. There was no prophet that saw more than Meisha Rabbeinu. He saw the entire Torah. Yet here the daughters of Tzlofchot saw more. This is another example of prophecy by women. And then the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, and Daf Yud Daled, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Arboim Ushmein Neviim Veshev Neviyos, Nisnabel Lehem Yisrael. Israel had 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. There were 7 prophetesses that gave prophecy to Israel. Who were the 7 prophetesses? As the Gemara brings, Ele Sheva Nevi'os, Sora, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Abigail, Huldah, Ve'Esther, Ve'Esther. And then the Gemara tells us, V'kulen le'pochsu v'le'isir al mashikosu v'teira chutz mimikra Megillah. Of all of the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, never one added a new mitzvah to the Torah, with the exception of one, which was accepted by the Sanhedrin Agdola, and that was a prophetess. That was Esther, Mikra Megillah. Of all the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, never one added or took away a mitzvah from the Torah, except one. That was agreed upon by the Sanhedrin Agdola, and this was Esther. She did what all of the other prophets never did. So this gives us an example. Mora brings a by Chana through her prophecy and through her Ruach HaKodesh did certain things with her tefillos that we learn from there how to daven. So what we've just gone through is what is the nature of a woman when it comes to Chochmah Bina, when it comes to wisdom. We find she was given that wisdom that a man has to learn for himself out in the marketplace. In regards to fulfillment of mitzvahs, we find that in ways she has a greater affinity to mitzvahs. Talmud Torah, she has the first foundation to Torah. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them first. Milas HaTorah, the benefits of Torah, even though with little effort, and prophecy in Ruach HaKodesh, the prophecy, these examples of prophecy. Now let's go to another point. What is her ability What is her sphere of influence? Now, firstly, in view of what we said, her sphere of influence on her husband and on her home and on her children can be taken from all that we've said till now. Bora says she brings broch into the house, simcha, kapora, forgiveness, Torah, choma, a wall of defense, shalom, peace, chayim, life. She's an azer. Bora says that she is the one who lays the first foundation for the children for Torah. She brings life. The Midrash tells her that her sphere of influence is very, very great. Unfortunately, women do not realize this themselves, but their sphere of influence is very great. Midrash brings in Perek Yud Zayin, Osh Yud Beis. This is not just an isolated story, but this is to teach us something. The case of a very righteous man that was married to a very righteous woman. They never had children. Omru, they said to each other, we are doing nothing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Almighty. Omdu v'girshu zeh zeh. So they decided that they would divorce each other and they would remarry and build for the Almighty. The man went and he married a wicked woman. And she made from him a wicked man. She made from the chosid, from the righteous man, a wicked man. The woman went and she married a wicked man. And she made from the wicked man into a righteous man. Have shahakol mina isha. The Gemara brings that this is what is meant when aim kol chai, that all comes from the woman. Medrash is telling us that the sphere of a woman, the sphere of influence of a woman, is enormous. Now, what about the sphere of influence of a woman outside of her home and family? Not that it's necessary that it should be. If it would be limited to that alone, one said that it would be sufficient that they bring up our children and save us from sin, that itself is sufficient and a sufficient enough of achievement. All that we said is certainly a sufficient enough achievement. But do women have a sphere of influence as far as the Torah is concerned when it comes outside of the home? This also is, unfortunately, people do not realize. Many times women themselves do not realize. Women have had an enormous sphere of influence on all of Israel, on the whole world, and even on history. The fact is, women have been very significant, more than significant, in forming the future of Klal Yisrael and in formulating the national policy of Klal Yisrael. And we'll cite a few examples as much as time will allow. I must admit that the material on this subject is enough for many, many shurim, so we have to be very concise this evening. Firstly, Sora. Besides the fact that Sora worked together with Avraham, and Avraham became an Av Hamein Goyim, Avraham became a father of the world, and Sora's name was changed to be a queen of the world, Le Sarai, not my queen, but a queen of the world, because she worked together with Avraham to bring Torah and Chesed to the world. Besides that, but she actually formulated policy of Klal Yisrael in ways that Avraham was not able to. She said, Gorosh esa omazes, chase this maidservant away together with Ishmael, because lo yirash im b'ni im Yitzchok, he will not inherit with my son with Yitzchok. Kodesh Baruch Hu had told Avraham, had promised Avraham that I'm going to make a great and mighty and blessed nation from you. Avraham did not know it would come through Yitzchak. Avraham did not know. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him. He said, Avraham said, I'm thankful I have Yishmael. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, it will be someone that will be born from you. But Avraham did not want to cut off of Yishmael. That was Sora's decision. Sora said, Lo yira shim benim Yitzchok. When it comes to the inheritance of given to Avraham, she said that will go through Yitzchok. That will not go through Yishmael. And therefore, chase him away. Avraham didn't want to listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shma b'keilo, listen to her, ki im b'Yitzchok yikore lechozora. Because the inheritance of Klal Yisrael will go through Yitzchok, not through Yishmael. This was a dispute between Sora and Avraham. And it was Sora's decision that ruled. But this is a case of history. This is a case of national policy. That's one instance. A second example, Rivka. Yitzchok wanted to give the brachos to Esav, which would have meant, the Gaon writes, that the whole success of Klal Yisrael were determined in these brachos, which would have meant that all of the brachos that were given to Avraham would have ended up with Esav, would have ended up with Rome. Rome is the inheritance of Esav. It was Rivka who intervened. And even when Yitzchok would not listen to her, she still did not stop. With the Ruach HaKodesh, with her great sight, she saw that Yaakov was the righteous son, not Esav. And she intervened by disguising Yaakov as Esav. Now this is the change of Klal Yisrael forever. Rachel was the cornerstone of the Klal Yisrael, Akeres Abayis, and known as the Me'ached that held them together. Yocheved and Miriam. Yocheved and Miriam saved the sons of Israel from the hands of Paro. Miriam is the one who persuaded Amram to take back Yocheved. He had divorced her when Paro came out with a decree that all of the male children born shall be killed. Miriam came to him, to her father, and she said that you are worse than Paro, because Paro is only decreed on the sons, and you have decreed on sons and daughters. And because of that, he took Yocheved back, and because of that, Moshe was born. So it's through Miriam that Moshe was born. Moshe changed history for the entire world. That's firstly. Secondly, it was Miriam who saved the life of Moshe. Moshe was thrown into the reeds, and he was about to be taken by the daughter of Paro. It was Miriam who risked her life to save his life. And later on, she was paid for that when the sick camp of 600,000 people were not allowed to move on until she was ready to rejoin the camp. It was Moshe who changed history in the world. And thirdly, it was Miriam, together with Moshe and Aaron, all three were the Goalim. They brought Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. So this is another example. Additional example. Mora tells us, Medrash, that Lo Yotzo Yisrael Mimitzrayim El Bishchus Noshim Tzidkonyos. The schus that Klal Yisrael had to go out of Egypt was through the Noshim Tzidkonyos, the righteous women. When the men came home from the Avedis Perech, from the slave labor, and they were totally exhausted and they were depressed, so it states that their wives came with their copper mirrors, and they would be mesameach them, they would rejoice them, and lift up their hearts, and they would give them to eat and drink, and they would rest, and to this they would bring them to the mitzvah of pruavu, of having children. And the Medrash says it was this generation was the generation of the greatest which went out of Egypt. And it was through that schus. B'nai Slavchot. nice Slavka that we just mentioned. Chazal asked an interesting question. They asked, if Moshe saw the whole Torah, why didn't he see this? So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld it from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld it. Why? So the Chazal answer, really, this parsha of inheritance should have been written through Moshe like all the rest of the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld it. In order that it should be written through the daughters of Tzlofchot. What does this mean? This means that this parsha, these laws, were given to the world through Bnei Tzlofchot, the daughters of Tzlofchot. They were not given to through Moshe. Moshe gave the entire Torah. But when it came to these laws, it says he had to take it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why are you asking me? Cain Davidish. You do as they say, they're speaking correctly. This was given to the world through the daughters of Tzlofchot. They changed history. We have Esther. The entire nation of Israel. Kol HaYehudim. All the Jews. Taf HaNoshim. Men, women, children. Were all in danger of annihilation. It was Esther that saved them. Yehudis in the Hanukkah story. Now, on each one of these, we could elaborate. Say. We don't have the time. We should, but we don't have the time now. But these were all women who were acting within their sphere of influence. And their sphere of influence had not only spread to their homes, and to their children, to their husbands, not only to others, but to all of Israel and to the entire world. These are just a few examples. Now let's just, from the material that we've studied this evening, let us bring it into perspective with some of the questions that are generally asked today. One issue that's usually brought up is when it comes to equal rights in the marketplace, in commerce, in money matters. Women many times are secondary. They don't get equal pay, they don't get equal opportunity, and so forth and so on. This might be true. But the women live as, if this is their gripe, they shouldn't attack the Torah. Right? Or they shouldn't attack Judaism, because this is not true in Judaism. Right? Modern Baba Kama tells us, on Daf Tesvov Omer Aleph, Modern states, Debate of Lezer Tano. Ve'ela mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. And these are the laws which you shall place before them. Now the mishpatim, this deals with all of the monetary laws. Mekech u'memker, selling and buying. Laws of trusteeship, shemrim, laws of guardianship. Laws of theft. So forth, laws of damages. Parshas mishpatim. And there it states, these are the mishpatim which you shall place before them. And it's talking called Yisrael. There are no distinctions when it comes to dinim, when it comes to monetary rights, as far as the Torah is concerned, between man and woman. Whether it's beneficial to them or not beneficial to them, there is no distinction. If you steal money from a woman, you have to return exactly to her what you would have to if you would steal it from a man. If a woman steals, she would be guilty exactly the same as a man would be guilty. If you buy something from a woman, you have to pay her the same amount as you would pay if you buy it from a man. And vice versa. Hishvu akosav ish le'isha l'chol dini shebetorah. If you hire a person, you have to pay value. You must pay him true value for what he's selling to you, for a product, or for his labor, or whatever it might be. If you don't pay him true value, then you're a ganav. Then you're a thief. And the laws of Geneva, the laws of theft, the laws of mammonus are very, very severe in the Torah. They're more severe than other laws in the Torah. There's no difference if you buy a product from a woman or a man, or a goy. There's no difference if you buy labor from them. You must pay them true value. These are the laws of the Torah, and this is the practice of the Torah. If the world doesn't practice this, that's not our discussion this evening, but if the world doesn't practice this, all right, there's a gripe, but not against the Torah. Now comes the question, what about women working outside of the home? What about women having careers, other pursuits? Very concisely, if we're speaking where there is a basic need for this, for example, if there's a need of panoso, a woman has to work for livelihood. She has to help her husband. More money is needed in the household. Or, for example, if there's sickness in the home, or if she's a widow, a divorcee. This we have found throughout all of the generations. We found many, many cases where women worked outside of the home, or they pursued careers outside of the home because of necessity. We found also that women pursued careers outside of the home to help their husbands study Torah. There were times in Europe where women went to teach. This was the movement of the Beis Yaakov in Poland and Yavne in Lithuania, where women went because there was a great shortage of teachers. Women went outside of the home to teach Torah. This we have found all of the time in the past. But it was because of a necessity. And at the same time, a woman must realize what her basic role is in order that that should not be totally left by the wayside, because otherwise it would create a tremendous vacuum. Then again, what would happen, another question that's asked, what would happen if a woman, for other reasons, wants to pursue a career? For some reason, she doesn't find enough satisfaction because of her own particular nature, being in the home. So she wants to pursue other pursuits, other careers. If this is the way she feels, it also is possible that this is a legitimate reason. If she cannot find satisfaction in her home and she needs to pursue other endeavors. But again, though, she must remember, though, what her basic responsibility is in order that there shouldn't be a vacuum. Because if there's a vacuum there, then that's going to bring a churban. That can be very, very destructive. Then we have another issue. We have those that feel that women should pursue other pursuits. That it's not right that women should be limited to the homes. And they should have the opportunity also to go out and to be like men and to pursue glamorous careers in the marketplace, in commerce, in the professions. And they look down on these roles of women. Now, this is something that has to be analyzed. Why do they want to pursue careers and professions? Merely, this is speaking where they don't need it for a livelihood, they don't need it for panos, and they don't need it for other reasons. They need it merely for the sake that they want to be equal to men. Now we must analyze, why does a man pursue a career? Torah tells us a man pursues a career for two reasons. One is because of the klola bezeh sapecha techa lechem. There was a klola, a curse given to man. that he's going to have to work very hard for his money, by the sweat of his brow. That's one reason why a man pursues a career. It states that by Odom HaRishon, before the hate, didn't have to have a career. He didn't have to work. There was a river that came through Gan Eden and it watered the garden, and that was all that was necessary. Now, this is no reason for women to emulate. If women happen to be free of that klolo, I don't see why they're jumping in to try to take part of it. So I wouldn't advise them to emulate that. There's a second so-called glamour in man's professions, and that is that he's providing a service. If he's a doctor, he's providing a medical service. He's healing people. If he's in commerce, he makes products, and he's providing a service. The Gemara calls all of this Eisik b'minyonei shel olam. Eisik b'yishuvin shel olam. That people who have careers, we're speaking about meaningful careers and meaningful professions, they are helping to build society. Now, if that's the reason why they want to emulate, who says that the men are building society and building the world to a greater degree than the role of the woman? Why is it so simple in their eyes that if a man manufactures clothing and it's a service to people, people will have clothing to buy? Or if a man is a banker, so now he helps commerce thrive, why is that a greater service to society and to civilization than a woman who brings life into the world, who brings children into the world, who builds a home, who aids her husband, and everything that we mentioned in the past? Aim kol chai, she's the mother of all life. Akeres habayis, she's the cornerstone of the house. Ichud habayis, she unites the house. She brings simcha and shalom into the house, and brocha and Torah into the house. Not only that, but her role in the home, the Torah equates not with the secular role of man in the marketplace. You know, everyone has a secular role and then a spiritual role. Her role in the home, the Torah equates with the Torah role of the man, the spiritual role of the man. Where it says that what she is doing in the home, in the life that she's bringing, in the sphere of her influence, the Torah equates that with all kind of, with chema, that's a wall in the home, that's Torah in the home, that's brocha in the home, that's simcha in the home, that's shalom in the home. It's not equating that with necessarily manufacturing clothing or soap. So, we're attacking this from two aspects. If a woman wants to get out there in the marketplace because she wants a share in the curse that was given to man, look, if she really wants this, then we won't stop her. But the question is why she should want this. And if she wants to get out there because she wants to have share in the great services that man is doing, I fail to see where the services that man is doing outside is any greater than the services that she is doing inside. That's what Eliyahu answered him. Who may be vihi mechino? They are both doing services. He's doing services outside, she's doing services inside. But not only that, the Gemara equates her role not only with the secular life of man, but with the Torah life of man. Like we mentioned throughout the Shir. And then one final point. Those that espouse a philosophy, an ideology, that a woman's role is somehow archaic, a woman's role is somehow secondary, lacks all of the glamour of the modern thought and so forth. This is totally contrary to everything that we've said this evening. The fact is, it's because of this. It's because that these values are not living today that we are seeing the greatest ill of society today has been pegged at the breakdown of the home. The home is broken. The children are broken. The marriages are broken. And from here come out sick children only to become the fathers and the mothers of the next generation. I'd like to conclude that the Gemara tells us that this woman that the Almighty created, and as we can see from here, it was not any second-rate package, is something that the Gemara tells us we must honor and we must love and we must hold in very high esteem. More in the Yevamah states, V'ahavtah es ishtay ki gufay u'mechabda yeseh mi gufay. A man is obligated to love his wife like himself and to honor her even more than himself. That's what the Gemara in Yevamah says in the Sugya and Samach Beis. And in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, it tells us what took place. And this is in Perek Yud Beis. In Perek Yud Beis, it states, Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olav Shalei La'achivai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to give pain to Adam. And therefore, he put him to sleep in order that he should not feel the pain. He took a bone from his bones and flesh from his heart. And he made for him a helpmate. And he took the woman and he stood her next to Adam. Hekits mishnosai. When Adam woke up, and he opened his eyes and he saw that she was standing next to me, Yad Chibko Venishko. He embraced her and he kissed her. V'omar, and he said, Brucha at Lashem. Blessed are you to Hashem. Atzmech me'atzomai. You are a bone from my own bones. V'loch roi likrais isha. And to you is befitting the name Isha, that you have come from man. And the Shenemar, as it states, you are bones of my bones, flesh from my flesh. Then the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy with what was taking place that he made a big wedding celebration for them. Eser chupais osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam HaRishon b'Gan Eden. He made a wedding in Gan Eden with 10 chupas. And they were all the chuppas were made of precious stones and pearls and gold. But the halach is for a chosen you only make one chuppa. A melech, a king, you make 3 chuppas. So why did he make 10? Lach le kovid lo odem arishain, osa akorish borchu, eser chuppas began Eden. In order to give kovid to this new couple, he made 10 chupas. V'hoyu ha'malochim m'seifefim b'tupim u'meraktim k'nechevas. And all of the angels came, and they came, and they danced. They came with instruments, and they danced. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the angels, Bo v'nigmol chesed lo'odem alishen u'le'ezrei. Come, and we will do kindness with the first man and his mate. Because when you come to a wedding and you bring rejoicing to the chosen and kal and you make them happy, that's gemilas chesed. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that the world stands on chesed. So he called, there were no people, so he called all the angels together. And he said, come, we will make chesed for Odom and his wife, we will be the shushvinim. We will be the best man, the best woman, the maids. Come, we will bring them to the chuppah. Then it states that it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hoyu malachi ashoris k'bei shushvinim. The malachi ashoris were like shushvinim, the best men. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like a chazum. Ma darko shel chazin eimeid umavorech lakale v'seichu posei, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu omor uveirech la'odim le'ezrei. What is a chazan do? He stands under the chuppah and he gives the kala a brocha. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he give a brocha to Odom and to his wife, Shenemar, Vayevorech, Eisom, Elohim. And that's what it states in the Posuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.